Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray, Lord, that we would focus on you, that you would speak to us, that you continue to change us with your sanctifying power. In Jesus' name, amen. We're still in Hebrews 13. We're still in the prayer in the latter part of Hebrews. As we have been on this prayer and studying this prayer, we've seen that the prayer is that the reader would be complete in Christ Jesus, that we'd be a complete person in Christ. It's a prayer that we might reflect Christ in our own life. Prayer that we would be workers in His kingdom and that we'd be well-pleasing as we worked in the kingdom of Christ. This is a tall order, isn't it? As we look at what the writer is praying for. And in fact, if we were honest with ourselves, it might seem a little bit overwhelming to us. As we looked at our life and looked at that prayer and prayed that that would happen in our life as a believer. You may be saying to yourself, how in the world am I going to accomplish this? I don't feel adequate. I don't feel able. But I think if we were honest with ourselves, at various times in our life, we've all felt inadequate for our calling and what God has called us to do. As I've shared before, the feeling of inadequacy kept me from the pulpit for years, that I didn't feel like I was going to be good enough, that I wasn't up to the task, that I was going to disappoint, I wasn't going to measure up. And you may have times in your life when you go through that, that I'm not going to be good enough to do something in the kingdom of God. Today I'm going to give you the answer of how God is going to accomplish those things in your life. In fact, the answer is in the prayer itself. If you look at Hebrews 13 at our focal passage, and as we read the prayer again, as we've been reading it through, as we've studied it each Sunday, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And there in that prayer, we have that answer on how we're going to be complete, how we're going to work in His kingdom, how we're going to be well-pleasing, and that answer is through Christ. Through Christ. It's through Christ that you can witness to your neighbors. It's through Christ that you can teach, if you've been called to teach. It's through Christ that you can love in a sacrificial way as Christ has loved. And this concept of accomplishing the task that God has called us to through Christ shouldn't be a surprise for us. In fact, in John 15, verse 5, Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's abiding with Christ that we bear fruit. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then finally, as we read the words of Paul in Philippians 4, starting in the 10th verse, Paul said this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, that you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everything and all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Christ said through Him we can have a victorious life. Through Him we can have answered prayers. And Paul said that regardless of my state, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, this turns our faith from an intellectual set of beliefs, one where we just acknowledge an historical Christ, if you will, to actually living for Him, allowing Christ to live through us. You may ask yourself, well, how does Christ live through us? Well, it's a promise in Scripture. Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, I want to talk about that just for a moment. This idea of Christ living through us. And this idea of when Christ lives through us, that we bear fruit. If you are a believer this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit. The Bible says that if you don't bear fruit, that you're thrown into the fire. That's not the believer's life. If you are a believer, you will bear fruit. I will also bring up the point that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He tells you that He will prune you so that you may bear more fruit. Now, with this idea of bearing fruit, and that if you are a believer, you will bear fruit, when you look at that from a practical standpoint, there are believers who aren't very committed to their faith, and they may bear little fruit, not a lot of fruit, compared to someone who has decided to be consistent in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God works through them, and they bear a lot of fruit. Kind of makes sense. As you all know, I love plants. I've brought up this example before with roses. If you want more roses, you just go out and prune that rose bush and you will see those blooms flourish. But there's a lot of people, as we've studied in Hebrews, where the Bible says that if we are His disciples, that He will chastise us. And as we think about being chastised, unfortunately, there are people in their Christian walk who never bear much fruit, who go from chastisement to chastisement and struggle in their Christian walk. But here we have this wonderful group of Scripture, as the words of Paul said, we can do all things, all things. We can walk down any road that we find ourselves in if we follow Christ and allow Christ to live through us. In Galatians 2, which we've already read in 20, Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's living by faith in resting in the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ, that we find ourselves walking in learning, in knowing about God, in resting in Him and growing in Him. There are a lot of people who say that they believe in God, but yet they don't trust God for the everyday things in life. But we have God guiding us, and we can know more about Him and rest in Him if we will just have faith in Him in every aspect of our life. People say they believe in God and they believe in heaven, but they don't trust God with their pocketbook. They don't trust Him at work. They don't trust Him with their marriage. They're not living their life, as Paul says, in the faith. See, when we say that I'm living my life in faith, I'm resting in the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. And in fact, Christ points this out in John 8, starting in verse 30. It says, as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I would argue that the truth isn't just a one-time acknowledgement when you walk the aisle and you gave your life to Jesus Christ. The truth should abide in us every single day. We should seek out the truth of Christ for every aspect of our life. And when we abide in His word, what's the promise? The truth shall make you free. Free. Compare that to a lost world who lives in spiritual bondage because of the false teachings of this society and culture. You can be free in Christ. You can have joy in Christ if you abide in His words. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in Me, in My words, here it is again, in My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. Abiding with Christ, abiding in His word, learning from Him, listening to His teachings, learning more about Jesus and applying them daily to every aspect of your life. This is where we find victory, my friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ and through salvation. It's through abiding in Him. Now, with all this talk about abiding, I want to bring up something that is a real problem today in Christianity, and that is this topic of biblical illiteracy. Because biblical illiteracy is a real problem. A recent Lifeway research study found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. 40% read the Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible. There's a problem. There's a problem when we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ where He says, abide in My word, and people don't even pick up the book. How can you abide in the words of Christ if you don't know what the words of Christ says? See, part of us being followers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we follow His teachings and truth. And He's given us His Word. And here we had this LifeWay study, but I want to read a study that they did in the UK from the United Kingdom Bible Society. They surveyed British children and found out that many could not identify common Bible stories. 1 in 3 children didn't choose the Nativity as part of the Bible. Think about that. As we celebrate Christmas, 1 in 3 children in the UK can't identify the story of the birth of Jesus Christ with Christmas itself. Over half, 59%, didn't know that Jonah being swallowed by the great fish is in the Bible. A story that when I was a kid, you could ask most young children and they would know that answer. But it didn't get any better when you talk to British parents. 30% of parents didn't know who Adam and Eve were. Think about that. How can one know about original sin if they don't know about Adam and Eve? They didn't know the story of David and Goliath, and they did not know that the story of the Good Samaritan is found in the Bible. It gets worse. 27%, this is scary, 27% think that the story of Superman may be in the Bible. 1 in 3 thinks that the story of Harry Potter may be in the Bible. Over half of all Brits surveyed believed that the Hunger Game might be a story found in the Bible. People don't know. And it doesn't get any better in the church. I remember when I first started out in ministry, we had an elderly couple, and they were faithful attenders for a couple of years. And then one day, out of the blue, they said, "We can't come to your church anymore." "Why? What's wrong?" They said, well, you don't preach out of the King James Version of the Bible. It's got to be the King James or nothing. I said, "Okay, hate to hear that." Then I was expressing this to a pastor friend of mine. And I said, "Really upset. I had this neat elderly couple and they won't come anymore because I don't preach out of the King James." And he said, "Oh, it's not unusual." He said, "I had someone in my church that said, well, they weren't going to come because I didn't preach out of the King James, because if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it should be good enough for us." They don't know. They don't know. And there's a problem of not knowing. And when we don't know His Word and we don't abide in His Word, the chances of us being deceived greatly increases. We have to know the Word of God. And when we know the Word of God, when we abide in His Word, wonderful things happen. And when we talk about this particular issue, it's even more concerning when we find out that 9 out of 10 American homes have at least one Bible in them. And the average American, not Christian, the average American, Christian and non-Christian, has at least 3 Bibles in the home. And here we have Jesus saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. My friends, abiding, having the power of Christ in your life, is accomplished when you read His Word on a daily basis. Should we expect spiritual victory in our life when we allow the influence of the world to permeate our thinking 6 days a week, and then we come here for 1 hour a day, and you hear a sermon, and you read the Word, and that's it, and you go home. Should we expect spiritual victory in our life when the only time we give credence to the Word of God is during a 30 or 40 minute sermon? It doesn't work that way. It only works when we abide in the words of Christ, when we allow the teachings and truth of Christ to permeate our lives and allow God to be at work. And through the reading of His Word, through the studying of His Word, through fellowship with other believers, we allow God to work through us. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I want to talk about this for just one moment. What he's telling us here is that when we pick up the Word and we read the Word discovers our condition. Does it every single time. And so as you pick up the Word on a daily basis, as you read your Word, the Spirit moves through the Word in your life, and you can have victory in your life through abiding in the Word. It knows your hearts and mind. It convicts our life. It encourages us in what we should be doing for the Lord. It's abiding in Christ. 1 John 1, starting in verse 1, says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life." Who's the Word of life? It's Jesus. "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." You want joy this morning in your life? Be a student of the Word. Be a student of the Word. Read His Word on a daily basis. Commit to it. Commit. The other day, I got a mailing from Houston Baptist University. On the cover was Stuart Tidal. The whole family had always been big in Baptist life, but he's 99. I was reading the interview, and of course, he was wildly successful in business. He was one of the financial backer of Billy Graham. In the article, he made this comment that I thought was neat. They were asking him about advice for life. And he said, "I found out a long time ago that I think that the Bible is more current than the Houston Chronicle." So he said, "I had a Bible on my breakfast table every single morning. Kept it there." You may be saying to yourself, "I found it hard to be a reader of His Word on a regular basis." Put it on the table. When you sit down to eat breakfast, read His Word. If you don't eat breakfast, have it there for supper. Be a reader of His Word. I've told this story before, but bears repeating. I have this particular friend, and his mother passed away, and all of the kids got to where they were picking over who gets what, as we often see what happens in families. And I'll never forget when he told me this. He said, "I did not want one single thing out of that house except one thing. I wanted my mother's Bible, because I remember as a child her reading that Bible all the time." There's power in that. It's what the Bible says. that the Word of God is powerful. It's living. And if you want Christ to live through you, if you want that prayer that we've been studying in Hebrews to be accomplished in your life, just abide in the words of Christ. Join me for prayer, please. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you have given us your wonderful word. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take advantage of it, that we wouldn't be callous to it. I pray, Lord, that we would be students of it, that we'd rest in it, that we'd trust it. I pray, Lord, that our church might be known as a people of the Word, that we would truly rest and teach it to a community that does not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.